Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the Kind of Funny podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Nick Scarpino, alongside my partner in crime, Mr. Tim Geddes.
It's me.
The future of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
It's me.
And, the Texas treat, Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globetrotting, headshot and nitro rifle, rootin' tootin' nitro rifle,
three-point shooting
from twitch.tv/AndyCortez, Mr. Andy Cortez.
You got in your own way.
Hello.
You had it.
No, because I like to add stuff.
Yeah.
And I was
But you did.
I got halfway down the road and I thought to myself, well, Rootin' Tootin's my addition.
Well, of course.
Okay. But that's become canon.
Tripped you up there.
Which means that it's my purview as to whether or not I would like to include that in today's trial, Your Honor.
Got it. You're right.
I want you guys to know I tripped myself up before this thing even started because at the top of my form that I copy over from last week to add some new stuff, new sponsors, new patrons, whatever, I have Do the Dune.
Yeah.
Is what we were going to call last week's episode. Yeah, those are stinky. We got to clean those bad boys out.
That just hit me, man.
Yeah, I can smell that.
Let it hit you, and then we'll see where we're at in 5 minutes if we're all a little high.
Okay.
Because we're going to talk about the Oscars, and it's going to be real fun. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, before we get to that, this is the Kind of Funny podcast where each and every week, three, sometimes four, best friends gather around this table, each bringing topics for your amusement. A couple housekeeping things before we start the shenanigans. The Mix and Kind of Funny have teamed up for the Spring Game Showcase. 60 indies will strut their stuff this Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. That's the usual KF games, Kind of Funny Games daily time. It's over on our other channel, but you guys can know about that. Come watch on our channels, the Mix channels, IGN, and GameSpot.
Also, we're worldwide, baby. We're everywhere.
We're Mr. Worldwide. Pitbull suing us.
I hear it's going to be a halftime show. May or may not be Pitbull.
Oh, my God. If we got Pitbull for anything, I would be very scared because I talk a lot of shit about
Pitbull. You would do a great halftime show.
We would.
Well, no, Pitbull. I'm talking about Pitbull, yeah.
Yeah, well, we would throw a great Pitbull halftime show.
I mean, I would be down to sponsor it. I don't know if we got the money for that, but
we'll have to figure it out, though.
Well, I don't think we sponsor that. I think the Super Bowl calls us. Are we talking about a Super Bowl halftime show or a
Mix halftime show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
there's not a halftime show, by the way.
I'm willing to bet that Pitbull is flexible with this pricing.
I'm willing, but he's not.
I think if he likes you, he'll come through.
Something tells me that Pitbull makes
like
a surprising amount of money.
Oh, he's a multimillionaire.
All the time, though.
Yeah, like Mr. Worldwide. Come on, think about it, man.
I'll do it for you. Just get me a code for Ghost of Tsushima on PC.
Folks, if you like what we do here, please consider supporting us with the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. Shout out to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kashan Patel, Nathan Lamoth, Karen Lindner, James Hastings, and Casey Andrew. You are the best of the best, just like Eric Roberts in that movie we talked about last week. Also, today, we're brought to you by Shady Rays and Factor. We're going to talk about those awesome people a little bit. Guys, we've talked about Pitbull already, so we got that out of the way.
Good.
Here's the big question I have for you.
I had a question before. You have a question?
Wow. Let's Rochambeau for it.
You saw me throw down scissors, had a full half a second to decide which one to do.
Rock, for the record.
Damn it.
Like, he had
the win
for a full second, and then at the last second changed the scissors.
He thought Andy did scissors, so I should do scissors.
I want to do scissors. I can't fit everybody.
How do you forget the rules to rock it?
That was amazing.
Jesus. Well, what I wanted to ask was, I saw a tweet from @BlessingJr. over the weekend and said, I did my preliminary duties. I watched the prologue. I did the tutorial, and I watched Dune 1.
I did.
Yeah. Ooh.
I did.
Finally did it. Multiple watches.
Yeah, so I watched it on Friday. At least I tried to watch it Friday night. I hit up a friend, and I was like, yo, it's time. We're doing the Dune. Those plans kept getting shifted further into the night, where it was
like the sands.
Yeah, they live in Oakland. So I was like, okay, cool. Let me wait out the traffic. I'll come through. We'll watch Dune. As I was waiting out the traffic, I was like, oh, let me stream a game. Let me stream some Dragon Ball Z Tenkaichi just to pass the time. Ended up doing that. Got really into the Frieza saga in that game. It took longer than I meant to. So I finished that. It's like 8:30 by that point. But I'm like, you know what? No, let's still do it. Let's still watch Dune. So I drive 30 minutes to their place. And then once I get there, it's been a minute since we've seen each other. And so like, it was just one of those, we had one of those conversations that ended up as a 2-hour thing.
You can't just hey, I haven't seen you in a while. Let's immediately throw on
Let's automatically watch Dune. Like, we both kind of want to watch Dune. Like, yeah. Honestly, we both want to watch Dune so we can watch Dune too. So we get there, or I get there, start talking. And it's one of those things too where she has drama to like spill.
Oh,
so it's
sure.
Like, okay, cool. Like, let's sit down. Let's talk about
what's
this.
What's the chisme? That's what.
Yeah. I'm like, what's the tea? Say, yeah. Like, what is it? So that goes down. 2 hours pass. And now it's 11 p.m. And we look at each other and we're like, are we going to watch Dune? And we do. And then I fall asleep 40 minutes in. Mm. And I knew this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. To prepare for it, on the way, I got the biggest size of coffee that I could, from like iced coffee from McDonald's. Got that. And I also made tea when I got there.
Mm.
Like, I had two different caffeinated drinks.
At
the 40-minute mark, I was like, hey, I'm falling asleep. Pause. Let me drink, like, down the rest of this tea. Let me make tea, down it. Let me down the rest of this coffee. I'll be good to go for the rest of this thing. I'm going to be up all night. I do that, press resume, I'm out immediately. I fucking fall asleep.
You're inside, you're just angry at you.
Yeah, no.
Just
so
the
like,
worst dreams possible.
But then I wake up the next morning. I fell asleep there. Like, that's how bad it was. It was like, she was like, do you want to sleep here? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to sleep here because I'm not going to drive home from Oakland being this tired. I wake up, go home, and watch Dune immediately that next morning. And I really liked it. I thought it was going to be way more boring and confusing than it was. Like, it was slightly confusing. It was like a little bit boring. But once you get into that movie, it is fucking sick.
Thank you for welcome back to the Dune cast, by the way. Last episode, we had a great Dune cast the last episode.
Well, that was the tutorial for this one, too.
Yeah. I did watch the in review right after I finished the movie. I was like, I'm going to watch the in review. I listened to a different podcast talk about it as well. In review was great, by the way.
Yeah.
Shout out to Kevin. Kevin was laying down like a lot of like, you know, in the know secrets about the Dune franchise. In the know if you read the book. Really like just book things.
Yeah.
Kevin was breaking it down. I enjoyed that. But yeah, I'm super excited about the second movie. I saw I think somewhere online or like in an interview, Denis Villeneuve. Yeah, Denis Villeneuve did a interview where they were talking about like, yeah, more when it comes to filmmaking, I'm more interested in like the visual storytelling as opposed to like just dialogue and stuff. And I saw like a few people, you know, kind of taking apart that statement, you know, kind of hating on it a little bit. After watching Dune 1, I'm like, no, I get it, because like that is such like that is a visual delight.
And what if I told you that Dune 2 just takes it to a whole other level?
I immediately before Nick and Bless sat down at the desk, Tim was asking me my thoughts, because Friday night...
You did the Dune, too.
There was a Dolby, or what did you see it at?
Dolby. It was a 10:45 showing.
You are insane.
What is wrong with you?
And I'm going with our friend Kevin Ace X, the Spaceman.
Spaceman cometh.
And Snowbike Mike.
So
take it, Snowbike Mike.
So maybe just Kevin.
Take a Snowbike Mike to a late-night movie. Yeah. I mean, even a 5 p.m. movie. Let's forget about
Mike, by the way, is watching Ghostbusters 2 right now at 3:20, and he's falling asleep.
Yeah,
there. I just want you guys to know that.
We went to go see it in Dolby, and it was a religious experience. And I disagree with the people saying that if you didn't like Dune 1, you won't like Dune 2. Like, I think Dune 2.
I would
2,
disagree with that. Yeah, I would absolutely disagree.
Well, I've heard people saying like, "Hey, look, you're hearing a lot of scuttlebutt on the internet about how amazing Dune 2 is. If you weren't super into 1, you're probably not going to like this." I've heard that from a lot of different people.
Okay.
And not just like here in the office. I've just kind of heard it in a lot of different
Who
spots.
Said it in the office? Name names.
Well, name. I think, yeah, Tim at one point said it.
I
thought you did, yeah.
I don't think so.
No, Tim didn't like Dune 1 and then watched it again and really liked it and then was super hyped for Dune 2.
I think Andy might be right. I think you might have started like, look, if you didn't like Dune 1, you might not like this... It's not the same.
I'm being mostly silly. Yeah. Of course, people are entitled to that. I mean, you didn't like Dune. It's possible.
I've heard it in a lot of different spaces. I completely disagree. I think like Dune 1 brings it in so many different aspects. Visually, audibly.
Audibly.
Dude, it's a fucking tour de force.
Dune 2?
Dune 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like,
and I already feel that way about Dune 1.
And which is fucking fantastic. And I'm the same with Tim, where like I watched it the first time and I was like, that was okay. I liked it, but I wasn't blown away by it. And then after rewatching it recently, I was like, oh shit, I'm very excited for Dune 2.
I'm very excited to watch Dune 2.
I immediately I saw Blessing tweet that, and I texted him and was like, whenever you're going again, tell me. I want to watch it again. Like, this movie is that damn good. And the craziest part is that, like, we leave the theater at 1:55 a.m. That's when this movie ends. Mm-hmm. And I look, and this room is packed.
Yep.
It is so packed in this Dolby Theater. And, like, credits hit, and you just hear everybody around you go, like, fuck. What an experience, man. Yeah. Like, and legitimately, no amount of overhyping could have overhyped it for me. Like, I still was blown away by a lot of what was happening. And I can't really think of a whole lot that I would say was super weak about it either. I was just like, completely enthralled by the experience. It is like, it is amazing.
I'm hyped, man.
It needs to be a Dolby watch. Or I heard on the podcast, because I listened to the second episode of the podcast of In Review, and Matt Rohrbeck saying how much he enjoyed the IMAX experience as well.
Either way,
it
was gonna go wrong.
It was awesome, dude.
I want to get into it, and I'm hoping I'm able to get to the level with Dune where I'm like just into the world, because it's kind of rare for me with a lot of like fictionalized worlds. When I think of like the big ones in film, like Star Wars or Lord of the Rings, it's really hard for me to like invest fully in those worlds. Like Star Wars just never did it for me in that way. I think the only film franchise that I can think of that spans like a lot of movies that's done that has maybe been Harry Potter. Like that's the closest. But Dune, just from Dune 1, I'm like, I really like this world. I'm really into the stuff they're setting up lore-wise. Even the fact that Dune 1, they don't explain shit, and you're just there. They just put you in that world and just have you kind of along for the ride. And when I hear Kevin or anybody else talk about shit, I'm like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's
Dune
really
2
cool.
is going to break, Blessing.
I'm excited. I become a Dune sicko.
I feel you, because like really a lot of like those flash forwards in Dune 1 kind of made the experience too heady for me. And just like, what's going on? Like, with all these like kind of visions that Paul Atreides has had. But I think those little elements of storytelling that Denis Villeneuve was going after, like, kind of lost me in the first experience of watching it, where, like, I was more in for the spectacle, but when it came to a lot of the storytelling aspects, I was like, dude, like, I'm kind of lost of what the hell's happening right now. And I feel like, I don't know, man, after rewatching part one and then watching part two for the first time, having everything sort of recontextualized, it's so good, man. So good. Like, and, like, legitimately, the movie ends, I was like, dude, I don't, like, Denis Villeneuve, like, this has cemented him as, like, one of the best of all time. I already feel like he was like that, but this is, like,
Dune 2 is different. Dune 2, like you're saying of, like, if you didn't like the first, the second, whatever, Dune 2 is a blockbuster.
Yeah.
It's also all the other great things, but, like, I feel like it just, it hits in a way that, like, Blade Runner just simply can't because of what it is. Yeah. And even Dune 1 couldn't because of what it is. But Dune 2, I feel like there is way more mainstream appeal without sacrificing anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, Blade Runner is definitely more cerebral, right? And that's, I always talk about that movie, and you go back and look at how they marketed it, and there's only like three action sequences in that whole movie, and they're not even action sequences. It's a lot more of a drama and a lot more deep sci-fi. Dune 2, and this is the reason why a lot of people were saying, given that criticism, is like, you put them together, it's phenomenal. You take them apart, and Dune 2 is way more fun to watch than Dune 1, because Dune 1's all the setup for it, right? Dune 2's all the payoff with all the action sequences and all this stuff and all the cool stuff. So it's just a much more enthralling movie. But I do want everyone to go back right now and just go buy Blade Runner 2049, because I think we could do this, everyone.
We could retroactively fix it.
Yes, I really do.
Let's go, baby.
If we do have a Morbius moment, put it back in theaters.
We call up the guy that did that GameStop stock thing, right? Mm-hmm. And we try to get on that world where everyone just starts buying copies of Blade Runner 2049 until that stock goes back up and we get Blade Runner 2050 or whatever they were going to do next, starring Ryan Gosling. Is he dead at the end of that? I don't know. He just lays down.
You know what I was really happy about also? Not getting the standard Dolby intro. I loved having this Denis Villeneuve Dolby intro of him being like, we had to put this movie in Dolby. Not only because they paid me a fuckload of money to do all this stuff, but like the level of color you're getting, the sound, everything. That's like, I loved having that little special intro
so good.
From like a true artist.
I I am so ashamed to say that I saw this at on the most basic ass of screens at the Kabuki. It was their big theater.
Yeah.
The sound was fine, but it wasn't anything special.
Dude, I got tempted, Saturday night? I was looking at showtimes, and I remembered Tim talking about how, like, shit is sold out right now for Dune 2 if you want to see it.
Everywhere.
And, like, IMAX and stuff.
I mean, when's the last time we had a movie like that? Maybe Barbie, I guess, probably, right?
I don't know. Barbie was sold out.
There was a hot moment where I remember specifically being like, I mean, Oppenheimer
was the last one of like the premium formats are sold out for a while.
I will say for Barbie, I do remember the week after Barbie released, I went to the theater to watch some other thing. I think it was when we watched Flash, maybe?
That's what it was.
Yeah, and like there were people dressed up as Barbie. And this was the week after the movie actually came out. Like, what the fuck? But if we ever do Villeneuve in review, like holler at me.
Villeneuve in review.
Holler at me because like, remember that. I would love to rewatch fucking Sicario. Oh. I guess we've probably already done reviews for like Blade Runner and shit, haven't we? But
we did Blade Runner.
Just a review. Yes. We haven't done
just
that.
The first
review,
two.
Though.
No, I thought we did. Didn't we do?
Blade Runner.
We didn't talk about the first one.
We just reviewed it.
Oh, right.
Screencast or something, but not in review.
Interesting. Dude, I almost fired up Sicario over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I was this close from pressing play, and I looked. I had a gut check moment with D, and she was like, are we going down this rabbit hole right now? And I'm like, no, I can't. Because Sicario is the single most tense experience out of any movie I've ever watched in my entire life. If you've never seen it, it is fucking terrifying. It's very, very
I never have.
Dude.
You should watch it.
Don't watch it at night. You will not sleep
afterwards. I know I would.
Watch it on a Saturday and then watch a football game or something afterwards. I'm not even kidding, man. Like
put it on at 11 a.m.
Did you ever see No Country for Old Men?
Oh, yeah.
It's that times like 100 with the Mexican cartel. It's really, 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 really scary.
And Benicio del Toro.
And Benicio del Toro. And Josh Brolin, who is awesome. You forget all these connections, right?
Yeah,
the Josh Brolin connection. Just really, Josh Brolin really is the thread that ties everything together in entertainment.
When it's all said and done, Villeneuve versus Christopher Nolan, who are we putting higher?
It's different. I don't know that Villeneuve is going to get to the point that there's as many that you can say.
That's if true. He gets to do the Dune series, I think he skyrockets past Nolan. Yeah. Now here's, I mean, Nolan now. For sure.
Right now,
for sure, Nolan. Like, I can't even joke about that, right? Then Nolan gave us the Dark Knight trilogy. Like, that's, in my opinion, I would still put that over Dune. I just would. I think the Dark Knight rises above, no pun intended. Pun intended. Give it a little
fuck you. Fuck
you.
You deserve it.
But I will say this, if he's able to do Dune Messiah, which all indicators are pointing that he is going to do that, and then take it to Children of Dune, I don't see them. I don't know if they're going to do all six books or whatever. That could be something on par with the seven Harry Potter movies, as far as
like, really wow. Damn.
As far as like a cultural like 20-year span of how long did the Harry Potter movies take to roll out? It was like from 2000,
like 15 years.
Yeah, 15 years. It could be something on that level.
Danny Radcliffe was a newborn. He was,
but like, but you
fresh
look
out
at,
the womb.
You look at Harry Potter, and that had what five directors. David Yates.
Alfonso Cuarón.
That was Cuarón, the only good one, though. Let's be
Christopher
real.
Columbus. And then I think there was one other guy in there.
It's the only good one.
Askman is sick.
But, like, there's never been a franchise that... I don't think there's been a franchise where the director and has that same creative team has been, like, responsible for it all the way through, right?
I mean, yeah, it's a good call, right? Like,
it would be... I'm just saying it would be incredible.
Franchise is an interesting word to use there because, like...
series.
Whatever.
It's ongoing tale. So it would be really interesting. But right now, Nolan, for sure. I mean, you forget about Oppenheimer, right?
Everyone's like, oh, I don't forget about Oppenheimer.
I don't know.
Movie's
do.
Burning my brain.
I'm watching the Academy Awards last night, and I'm watching scenes, and then I was like, "Fuck, that movie was fucking really good."
Which
really
is a good time, man.
Yeah,
like, we are in a great time.
Best Supporting Actor. Wait, it was
Robert Downey Jr. won it.
Him, and then wasn't like there's somebody else from Poor Things, Hulk. Was he nominated?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I saw people being like, "Oh man, if Mark Ruffalo won," and I'm like, "Y'all, he was up against fucking Iron Man in Oppenheimer, and his performance in Oppenheimer was sick."
Here's the deal.
And I love Poor Things.
I love Robert Downey Jr. I will always love Robert Downey Jr. for his work throughout the eras. Loved him in the 80s. Love him as Iron Man. Obviously, we all owe him a debt of gratitude and honor for Iron Man.
Thank you so much. I love you too, Nick.
That was really great.
Thank you.
Having said that, occasionally people get Academy Awards, not necessarily for their performance, but because they are who they are, and this is an opportunity to reward them for that. Looking at you, Martin Scorsese, for The Departed. Looking at Robert Downey Jr. It's happened.
DiCaprio.
Right? DiCaprio for The Revenant. He was phenomenal in that, but should he have won for that? That's Who knows? I think he should have won for Wolf of Wall Street.
I digress.
So I think he just got rewarded for like that lifetime of service.
He should have been rewarded for his last nominee for this, right?
What was he nominated for last?
Tropic Thunder.
Was he really?
Yeah. Tropic, he lost to Heath Ledger as best supporting.
That's
tough.
As Joker?
As a tough loss.
Yeah.
Really? Damn. I mean, yeah, but like the fact that, like,
I mean, yeah.
Like the fact that, like, you look at that nomination list and you got Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder and Heath Ledger as the Joker. That's insane.
Kevin, can you bring up, I saw this sort of thread going around how just what insane competition Robert Downey Jr. has had. Can you look up the year that the Chaplin movie came out where he was
Charlie
nominated? Because that video came out recently of people posting footage from that old Oscars being like, check out the competition he had the year that he was nominated for Chaplin. And I believe it was Pacino in Godfather, one of the Godfathers.
I forget who won that year.
No, is that not right?
That's totally different eras, right?
Well, I guess, you know, I see the Charlie Chaplin film and it's like black and white. So I just immediately attribute
Robert Downey Jr.
I attribute it to those days. That's but man, so Pacino funny. Looks so young in this footage, is like crazy. Especially after watching him last night and just kind of babble through. I'm seeing Oppenheimer.
Oh man. A Pacino. Oh my God. I'm sorry, look, guys. We gotta stop. We gotta have a cutoff for both Senate. Presidency and for people who
that's
are
the Game Awards
the best,
Al Pacino's.
The best picture, dude. He walked up and he's like, "I see an Oppenheimer,"
and people were like,
"Did we fucking win? I don't know." You're supposed to say, "And the award goes to Pacino." This is your 900th fucking Academy Award. What are we doing? Keep Pacino and keep Warren Beatty the fuck away from the awards from now on.
Didn't Pacino show up at Game Awards?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
He introduced.
That's when Kratos was Kratos. Talking.
All right,
for like
8 minutes. So let's see. The 1990. That was that's this is Chaplin.
1993. Yeah,
1993.
Yeah, it's 93. It's just set up. So
who is he up against here, buddy? I can't. You got to help
supporting,
me out here.
Yeah, I know.
You got to help my old eyes out
it's
here.
It's not super. Hold on.
There we go. Actor in a leading role. He would have been a lead in that.
Son of a Woman. Was
Al Pacino in *Son of a Woman*?
Denzel Washington,
Clint Eastwood,
Malcolm X,
and *Unforgiven*.
Stephen Ray, *The Crying Game*.
Denzel,
Denzel, and Malcolm X is insane.
Oh, Al Pacino won. I'll tell you what, though, that is stiff competition because *Unforgiven* is one of my favorite movies of all time, and Clint Eastwood was fucking awesome in that. He should have won. He should have won that year. Al Pacino, *Son of a Woman*. Yeah, I guess he's fine. He did the dancing, hoo-ah!
Which we've heard a million times.
Heard of that a million times. But yeah, just wild competition to be like in a league with other actors like that. How you know what I love? I loved all the actors giving out award or like all the previous best actors.
I didn't
actresses.
Love it. I liked it at first. Then I didn't like it. And then it kind of came back around where I was like, okay, I understand what we're doing here. But there was a moment where it was like, it would be like if I looked at Blessing and I was like, Blessing, we've been best friends for years.
Yeah.
And then you were like, Nick, we've been on 3 podcasts together in the history of you working at Kinda Funny. Yeah. It just felt disingenuine where like that they were like, partnered with the other person, and I'm like, I don't know if they really know each other. They were very acting in certain instances.
That's what they do.
Yeah, that's what they do. In that moment, if I was sitting down and got like and like was paired with an actor, I kind of wish I had, you know, the other actor to introduce me.
the connection that I love was Sam Rockwell, RDJ.
Yeah,
I love they had that. That was awesome.
That was beautiful.
I love the Arnold moment with Danny DeVito and Michael Keaton.
Oh, that was incredible.
Come I on. Would if you were to ask me, Nick, like, would there be a better duo to hand you an Academy Award? Because I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the lady
twins.
Won for
yeah.
Twins. That's why they were there.
Yeah.
Makes you sense. Just made that connection?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not just the Batman.
Not just the Batman Robin thing.
Yeah. Because it really because it wasn't
would
Keaton.
Associated with twins.
Because Keaton wasn't his Batman.
He was for DeVito.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But the late I think the editor for Oppenheimer won, and that was the award, maybe. Or maybe it was a short. I can't remember. But she was like, I love that I'm getting the award from these guys. I grew up watching Twins. I love this so much. I would just not be able to handle it if Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito were standing behind me during my speech. But it'd be fucking rad.
It's so wild.
It's so wild. And Danny DeVito is just, I think he's gotten smaller.
Yeah.
And he can't really move that well. And Schwarzenegger is still, it was perfect. It's a perfect moment.
It's freaky to me to see Danny DeVito age. Because, like, I've seen him so much in It's Always Sunny now, right? Yeah. And obviously he's been in hella shit before that. But to like, I swear to God, like 5 years ago, see him in It's Always Sunny. And you know, he's not young, but he's what I've like envisioned him as my entire life. And then to see him here and it's like, dude, time has passed.
Why was Michael Keaton wearing the neckerchief? Was that a Batman reference that I don't understand? I know he wore a neckerchief in The Flash. Remember? There was that one moment where he kind of cut over to him.
I think now.
He had a thing where we were like, maybe that was from back in the day or not.
Just let him have the thing.
But he didn't have it when he presented. He came out when he presented. I think he didn't have it on. He presented an award.
Why are you focusing on
Because I want to know if it's a Batman reference. Okay. Because they had that moment where he's like, oh, he's right there. And
you
I was like,
think
this
that's actually a Keaton reference that he snuck in Batman?
This is the question.
Yeah, I'm with that.
These are what I want to know.
I think we're getting a little too in deep with the.
I want to go through the hits of the Academy Awards last night because I'm
the
sure
biggest
you guys...
one. My boy,
John
Godzilla.
Cena? Oh,
I thought you were gonna say John Cena.
Well, that too. That's fantastic. Godzilla winning a goddamn Academy Award for one. Best effects, which is amazing when you think about the budget of that incredible movie, which you still need to see.
Still haven't. Well, I can't rent it. It's like nowhere.
Once it's out, it's gonna change.
Literally every time anyone mentions it, me and D are like, we should watch this movie, and then I go to watch it, I'm like, I can't find it anymore.
It's so damn good. But
I ended up renting King Kong a couple times. Peter Jackson.
Oh no,
feel great.
No, but the effects were incredible, and what they pulled off was like magic. It was actual magic, and they got rewarded for it. I think that's just so cool.
As well, they should. And that's, you want to talk about steep competition? Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
I know.
Come on,
my God,
That movie. I mean, the creator was stunning as well. I didn't particularly care for the plot or the movie itself, but the effects were pretty rad in that one. And then Dead Reckoning. Dude, what's crazy to me is, did you watch the breakdown of effects for Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning?
Mm-mm.
They had the train sequence where it's hanging off and none of it was real. They had like three little pads and they replaced every single thing in there with the actual textures and all of the scenic stuff from the
interior of it, the train was not
just
real.
Nothing.
Oh shit.
Like I think they had like a blue thing here, a blue thing here, and a blue thing here for the tables that he was jumping on, and they replaced those with the actual like texture of wood for the tables. And I'm like, why?
I have in Tom Cruise, because you could have told me that entire thing was real. I'd have been like, yeah.
Yeah, really. They just really did it. That's why I lost special effects. That wasn't a special effect.
Goddamn.
I wanted to tweet about John Cena because I feel like I didn't think anything was going to steal the show from Ryan Gosling. But I feel like John Cena coming out and being naked on the Academy Awards and then seeing the pictures from the side and being like, oh yeah, he's actually naked. Yeah. Like he's
and his ass.
Yeah.
His ass be ass.
Yeah, dude.
I got some facts here for you about John Cena.
Yeah.
As a tribute to this is from Variety. As a tribute to the 1974 Oscar streaker, John Cena walked on stage nude, sort of. His private parts were strategically covered so as not to run afoul of FCC standards.
Yep.
But the producers got away with a lot more than the network's legal team wanted. Quote, there was a lot of reticence, I guess, of not just a fine from the FCC, but potential complaints. At first, the S&P team said it had to be blatantly clear that Cena was not naked, but then the producers worked with the network to determine what they can get away with. I'm going to educate you a little here. A bulge cannot be showing, and you can't show crack. It was also, what happens if he drops the card? So he made sure that, for all intents and purposes, he looked like a Ken doll up front. His crack was covered in the back, and then the envelope was Velcroed on there so it wouldn't fall. But beyond that, our boy was naked. They were sweating, she says of the S&P execs. I think at the end, we all got to a spot where we were comfortable. S&P was comfortable, and it didn't compromise the comedy a bit. I was very thankful we didn't have to send him out there in tighty-whities, which I'm sure legal would have preferred.
I will say that, obviously, there's moments where comedy doesn't work in the Academy Awards. More often than not, you're like, God, why would we? Why are they still talking, right?
Yeah.
And there were some moments in here as well where that worked out. But this was pitch perfect. John Cena fucking nailed this.
Yeah.
And I say that hot off the heels of getting approximately, I would say, 20 minutes into Ricky Stenicki and being like, oh, I don't know, this one's not working for me so much. So I come from that.
Really? I heard everybody loved things. It.
John Cena's great in it. I just think I
just love Tim looking at me being like, why does Nick never have the opinion of the majority of people?
What's funny, I haven't seen this movie yet. It popped up and everything I've seen has been positive. But also I look at that and I'm like, I don't give a fuck about the quality of this movie. There's no way Nick doesn't like it. What I mean?
I'm just saying John Cena as a comedic actor has really come into his own. We've talked about it.
Oh, God, yeah.
The fact that he's also wearing Birkenstocks.
Inspired.
Really, really inspired choice.
Yeah.
I do also want to give a shout out to Jimmy Kimmel, who I thought was a phenomenal host. I thought he did a very good job.
I've seen the internet tearing him apart.
I thought he did great.
What happens?
Yeah.
I don't know why. I think watching him as a person who, you know, obviously aspires to be on stage, being a comic, doing these things. I'm like, holy shit, you forget how fucking good he is at that job.
I think it's very effortless for him at this point.
It's so
yeah,
easy.
I think that's something that you can kind of easily write off and say that, you know, so much of the stuff he does up there just does not feel like, you know, prepped or planned. It's just like he's just been that good as a host for a long time. I'm with Bless. I saw some people hating on it. But overall, like when I saw a lot of people say, man, we should get John Mulaney after he had that little bit where he just recapped the movie A Field of Dreams. Fucking and that was hilarious. They're like, give us John Mulaney as a host. My immediate thought was like, yeah, but you'll hate him after a year of that anyway.
No,
like,
here's the thing about John Mulaney, and a phenomenal comic, great writer, very smart guy too. Do I want him for 3 hours? See, the problem with hosting is that you kind of have to be like chill going through. You got to have the peaks and valleys. And what I appreciate about Kimmel is he's just taking us through this adventure that is the Academy Awards, keeping it moving along, threw a couple great digs in there for Trump. Had a couple good moments. We had one moment with the dog that I can't stop laughing about. Where the dog was
did you see the behind the scenes of it?
No, but
Kev, I don't even know how to find it, but if you could just look at behind the scenes dog Oscars, there's just an amazing picture of a man laying down holding up fake dog hands in front of him. So funny.
Now, this was the dog from
Anatomy of a Fall,
and a lot of people were like, we don't want this dog in the theater, but they, you know, a lot of the movie studios were like, we can't have this dog in the room with everybody else.
Is it my bark?
And people weren't. Or something. And a lot of people were like, come on, let the dog just be a dog. Just let the dog chill. He's got that dog in him. So then I guess they pre-recorded that bit. Because I saw the other shot of, you know, pre-recording, having like a fake audience behind the dog to then cut to.
Kind of brilliant. Yeah. Like there's this a shot of like a small group of like 15 people in seats just for the camera shot. So like it doesn't look like there's no one behind him. I'm like, man, movie magic.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
Wait, I don't know what this dog thing is.
This
I didn't
dog.
See this.
Oh, you didn't see this?
No.
So this dog is from Anatomy of a Fall. And honestly, Real Talk has a phenomenal scene in it where it has to fake like it's overdosing on opioids.
Jesus.
Because the whole movie Anatomy of a Fall is like, you don't know what happened to this lady's husband. She was there with him. He fell. You don't know if she killed him or not.
That's the movie that Mike saw on a date one time. Right.
Which, by the way, is a... I just want to set this for you. It's a foreign film.
He said it was very, very boring. And then then I looked at the reviews and everybody's like, man, this is going to win an Oscar.
It is a two-hour-long trial that happens in French and some German and then a little bit of English about a woman who may or may not have killed her husband. And spoilers at the end of it, you're just like... Anyway, I don't want to spoil it, but there's a moment in it where the dog has to act like it ate like vomit that had some opioids in it, and the dog has to act like it's fucking ODing, and this dog nails it, dude. Like this dog is just like if there was a animal Academy Award, I'd be like, this dog's gonna fucking win.
The footage that we saw for the audio listeners was the dog passing out, and the people like having to pick up the dog with its kind of limp body. It's like, wow, that's very impressive.
It's unreal. So, of course, they put the dog in the seat, which was hilarious.
They made the dog clap.
They made the dog clap.
The dog was sitting there, and then they put up fake puppet paws in front of him.
It's just like, but it's not a big clap. It's just a little tiny, like.
That's awesome.
I'm trying so hard to find any footage of this.
Dude, blessing. It's got to be a meme.
Well, yeah, just look at the name of the dog.
It's Messy.
Yeah, if you look up just Nessie on Twitter.
Just Messy Oscar clap, I'm sure.
Did you guys actually watch the full Oscar?
I watched the full thing.
I watched, like, maybe the second half of it, because I kind of forgot it was even on. It was very early. I was surprised at, like, oh, shit, it's 3:45.
Thank God it's perfect at that time.
Yeah.
Red carpet started at, like, I came into the red carpet around 3:30. It started bang on at 4 o'clock. It was a little late, which is weird. Jimmy Kimmel made that note. He's like, we're already 5 minutes behind, which is hilarious. But, dude, it finished by 7:30 on the dot. It was perfect.
Oh, my God.
and that was Ryan Gosling noticing the dog in the shot.
So fucking funny. Yeah, no, I just watched clips and stuff online. But, man.
I watched
it. Like a fun show.
I thought it was a really good Oscars. I mean, I'm a sucker for the Oscars. Every year I go, I'm not going to watch the Oscars. And then I find myself drawn to it because I've pretty much watched every single one of them since I was a kid.
I did see the full Ryan Gosling performance of the Ken song, and that was incredible.
Slash, man. They got Slash for freaking Ken. And like the homage to the Marilyn Manson, Marilyn Monroe thing, so damn cool.
What was the homage to the
outfits that they were wearing? Oh. Like it was styled exactly like her Oscar performance from back in the day, with all the background people. And Simu Liu, come on, man.
They got all
just knew what they were doing.
They got like three or four of the Kens.
Yeah.
The great show. The humor, the breaking of the wooden boards, him just like, you know, dapping everybody up as he's walking on stage.
He's great. Well, my favorite part of the whole thing was it starts, right? And it cuts over to him in the cowboy hat. But Margot Robbie is sitting in front of him.
Losing
she it. Cannot stop laughing. Because you know he did something stupid right beforehand. Yep. He said something dumb. And she's like, oh, God, he's going to do this. Goes up on stage, crushes it. Performance of the
casual
night
by her. Like a casual crush.
Well, you forget he's like a Disney
guy. Right? He's so good.
You forget he knows how to dance and actually sing, which is great. And then he comes down and sings with Margot and Greta, and they're just having a great time. And then it cuts out, and of course, they've got the words on screen. I'm like, I would be screaming this if I was sitting in the Kodak. It's awesome. It would be so fun.
He, like, kissed one of the cameraman's hands.
The guy that he brought him with him. Yeah. God, that was so good.
What a perfect night. And I hate to say it, and, like, I think all the other musical performances, while good, were so subdued just by the nature of the kind of songs they were. Like Billie Eilish's song.
Oh, Billie Eilish's song. I was like tearing up. I was like, why am I crying? This is crazy.
But man, I mean, look at this. Look at this part. And it cuts out. They're all laughing. Like Billie Eilish is laughing. Come on, dude. Come on.
He's gold.
You gotta know that's just Ryan Gosling having a moment here.
I didn't see any of the other performances were any.
They were fine. I mean, I will say from a staging standpoint, I love they put the orchestra above them.
Yeah, that
which
was,
is great.
That was dope.
And so it would open up occasionally and there'd be people up there and you could see. I'm like, that was really, really cool. The other performances were very lackluster, though. And one of them was, I forget his name, but he was on piano. Billie Eilish was with her brother on piano. It was very, very small. There wasn't a lot of big moments, as opposed to in previous years when they would like kind of blow it out. This one, they were like, we're saving it for I'm Just Ken.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's Jack what Black got like. Robbed. You know what I mean? We could have got Peaches.
Could have got the.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's true. The entire time, I kept thinking to myself, man, I cannot wait. I cannot wait for next year when Dune 2 just fucking cleans house. Just give it to him now.
Give it to him now. Fuck
it. What's coming out? What's going to be better than Dune? You got something better for me? Studios? You ain't got shit.
What is coming out?
There's a lot of great movies coming out.
There's always random little small movies you never heard
Deadpool
of.
Deadpool 3 is going to come out.
Six people.
I also, by the way, I love come on, dude. I love also that Ryan Gosling at this point knows everyone, but he also knows Emma Stone like really well.
Yeah.
They did La La Land together and just all the shout outs to her and like just the moments of her reacting to him in this. So good. Also, I think I need to watch Poor Things because apparently it's a really, really, really fucking good movie that won a lot of Academy Awards.
Yeah, Poor Things is sick as hell. Like, it'll probably be that and Oppenheimer would be my two picks for, like, my favorite movies of last year.
Blessing, would you believe that on, I think it was either Saturday morning or Sunday morning, as I woke up very late, and I don't blame myself because it was daylight savings time.
Mm.
I woke up an hour later.
I thought we were done with this. What are
we
doing?
We didn't vote it out.
Fuck.
We put all of our efforts toward people seeing Dune 2 instead of voting for it.
Oh.
And then we have to pick and choose our battles.
But I thought we did vote for it, though.
Me too.
Yeah, I thought it was announced.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like a thing I read on KFGD.
And now I'm just wondering, like, did I fucking Mandela effect that in my brain?
I believe it, like, went to the House and it still needed to go to the Senate, and then it never went through in the Senate or something like that. Disaster. One of the spots that it needed to go through, it just died on the thing because
COVID.
Yeah.
That.
No.
Yeah. Just blame COVID for it.
But would you believe that 11 o'clock rolls around? I think I'm still in bed. I'm like, whoa, I slept so long. Why am I still tired? I walk out. My wife's finishing the last 15 minutes of Poor Things. So I saw the ending of it.
Oh,
that's not the way to watch that movie.
I was the poor thing the entire time, Tim. But you know who's not? Our amazing sponsors. Let's hear from them now.
This episode is brought to you by Shady Rays, an independent sunglasses brand that has over 300,000 five-star reviews. They are on a mission to match affordability with durability, making top quality shades accessible to everyone. They have tons of styles and colors to pick from, so finding the perfect polarized shades is a breeze. If you want an upgrade, we recommend their premium Color Rush lenses. Crafted with rare earth materials, these lenses bring high impact color to life, elevating reds, blues, and greens. Here at Kinda Funny, we all love wearing our Shady Rays, whether it's me looking dope doing my Pokemon Go walks, Snowbike Mike rocking the snow goggles, or Joey just looking fantastic in her tangle-free shades. If your shades go MIA or take a hit, don't sweat it. They've got lost and broken protection, so you're covered from day one. And if you don't love your shades, exchange or return them for free within 30 days. Exclusively for y'all, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off each pair of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com and use code KF20 for $20 off each pair of polarized sunglasses. Shout out to Factor for sponsoring this episode. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Joey has been loving her Factor meals because every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. And Factor is flexible for your schedule. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. A ton of us here at Kinda Funny have been so thankful for Factor since we've been in the new studio, and you can too. Head to factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 and use code kindoffunny50 to get 50% off. That's code kindoffunny50 at factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 to get 50% off.
Tell you what though, watch 15 minutes of it. I'm like, holy crap, I need to go watch this movie. The visual style of that film,
it's incredible.
Phenomenal. And I'm like, when they announced costumers, I was like, they're going to win. They won costumers, makeup, all that stuff. I'm like, they're going to win. That stuff was nasty.
The movie that I realized I needed to watch, what was the one that had Lily Gladstone?
Killers of the Flower Moon, which I still haven't watched.
Yeah, haven't seen that either. And after the reaction from last night, I'm like, oh, apparently I got to really see that movie.
She's supposed to be phenomenal in it. It's one of those films that I think I've avoided watching just because I'm like, this is going to be a very intense
experience. Undertaking.
Yeah.
That's one of the ones, blessing, that I forgot was only Apple TV, Apple Plus, whatever. So like when I got Apple Plus to watch Severance with my parents back home, I was like, oh, this is where that movie is. I'm not used to seeing it on any other subscription feeds, like main, like, hey, watch Killers of the Flower Moon. But on Apple TV, it's like, oh yeah, it's an Apple funded product. That's why like when it didn't make a whole lot of money in the box office, people were like, well, it wasn't really supposed to. It went straight to Apple TV. Then like the whole point was Apple funding it, you know?
Yeah. Poor Things was incredible. That was one that, like, going into it, I was only fascinated with the cast. Because the cast of that movie is insane, right? It's Emma Stone, it's Willem Dafoe, Mark Ruffalo, Gerard Carmichael, who I'm a fan of from his stand-up.
Gerard Carmichael's in it?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. He has, like, a major role in it. him and then I think a few... Rami Youssef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's incredible.
Who's fantastic. And so I was going into it for the cast. What was that?
He was there last night, right?
He was there. I saw him in a lot. I don't know if he presented, but I saw him in a lot of videos.
Yeah, that cast kills it. Everybody in that cast is incredible, aside from maybe Gerard Carmichael, who gives a performance where I'm like, it feels like he hasn't acted in like a major movie before. Like, I felt like somebody. I look, go back and I'm like, I guess he might not have. Yeah, like he's done stand up and he's done the Carmichael Show, which is a sitcom. But you can kind of tell that that's his first like major role. But aside from that, everybody's incredible. And then also, the visuals of that movie, like the scenery is insane.
I want to give a special shout out to the cinematography in it, man. I was like, this is wild. They shoot the whole movie on like ultra wides. Yeah. So like when they get close to you, it's like a fisheye lens. And then it's like, it's all that weird, crazy, like twirling of the bokeh.
I
want to
watch that for sure.
Nuts.
Just haven't had time. But
also
don't let
anyone spoil it. Cause Joey told me, she's like, go in, you need to know what it's about. And I'm like, well, now I know exactly what it's about. So that kind of spoils it a little bit. But it's sort of like a twisted Willy Wonka. You'll like it.
Yeah, I'm in.
Ludwig Göransson won his second award.
Which is great.
First award was for Black Panther, and then he won for Oppenheimer. But then at the end...
Oppenheimer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell you what.
And then at the end...
Man. He's had the strangest journey, because he started off doing like he did the Community theme song, and then produced for...
Whoa,
Donald,
really?
Then, yeah. I think that's how he got his start. Then he produced for Donald Glover, like rap songs. For Donald Glover, and now he's fucking producing Black Panther and in Oppenheimer.
He's the guy that whenever you'd hear him, I'd go, "Oh, that's probably Hans Zimmer." I'm like, "Oh shit, it was Ludwig."
He's the new one, man.
Well, then at the very, very end, he goes, "Thank you, Mom and Dad, for buying me like pianos and sound machines instead of video games." I was like, "Come on, bro, I didn't need that. Like, what's up with that shot? Why are you taking a
dig?
What's up with that, bro? Like,
you, bro.
He could have been
Ludwig Anderson."
I see it more as like a luck thing. Like, I'm happy this happened. Like,
No. Hold on, Tim. Hold on. Let's hear that one more time.
Let him talk.
Let's hear that one more time, Nick.
I missed it.
I said that if Andy had gotten keyboards and synthesizers instead of been forced to play video games in the RGB, he could have been Ludwig Anderson.
It's just so bad, man. It's just terrible.
Like, man, there's so many
but
things.
But you don't gotta call me out for it. You can just keep going. You know what I mean? It's a flow to these podcasts. Just let it go. Oh,
I saw it as like, a, hey, kids, cautionary tale. Don't be a gamer. That's what I read it as.
Yeah. It's also fair advice, too, though.
The one thing that kept throwing me off, though, the entire night was that it's apparently Mother's Day in the UK.
Dude! Oh my
every
God.
Every single time someone say Happy Mother's Day, I'm like, did I fucking miss Mother's Day?
Dude,
every time.
You're telling, like, man, I'm notoriously bad for starting my stream and be like, what's going on? How's your Thursday? And it's Tuesday. Like, I never know the date, never know. Dude, I was sitting kind of far away from my computer, and my mom's birthday is May 15th. And I know it's always like after Mother's Day usually. And when they get up on stage and go, Happy Mother's Day. And I'm sitting far away from my computer, so I can't fully see the date on the bottom right. And I was like, wait. And I looked down, and I was like, is it May? And the number 3 looked like a 5.
You
freaked out.
I
was like, oh my God, when did this happen? I had to like look at
it. Lost 2 months. Like,
yeah.
Fuck. He freezes a few weeks.
Dude, I was all thrown off by that. And then a couple more people did say that, like, yeah, it's Mother's Day in the UK. I was like, oh, that's why they said that. Because at first I was like, International Women's Day? Like, why would you call it Mother's Day? That's kind of like a weird thing. I was like, oh, UK. It's a UK thing.
It's one seems of the, like the type of day you guys would want to get on the same page for. You know what I mean?
Hallmark.
We got mothers everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, let's just figure that out. Let's just have a universal Mother's Day.
Well, it's very disorienting because, like, I was fortunate enough one time to be in London on Thanksgiving because I was traveling during Thanksgiving. And it threw me off because I was like, wait, you
we
guys don't.
There.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, great. That's right. That was when the trip was
there.
I was like, I don't understand why no one's celebrating Thanksgiving. Like, we got to figure this shit out, right?
Yeah.
Standardize the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Do that thing Kevin said where we have 15 months or whatever, so every month is only 15 days long. Whatever, 13 months.
13
right?
months.
Let's get on the same page here. Yes. Why can't Mother's Day, great holiday. I love celebrating. I send my mom flowers every Mother's Day. I like to see her. But it can be on the same fucking day worldwide. We know there's no reason to spread this out. Valentine's Day is the same day worldwide, right? Or whatever they call it in England, Old Cupid's Holiday, or whatever the fuck it is.
Good old Saint Nick. Well, I mean, so Canadian Thanksgiving is in December or October. It's like a month.
It's old. Yeah, it's like earlier.
It's like a month before. I think in October. I was like,
like stupid.
Is that why some dumb? You know what I mean? That's not a shot at the Canadian Thanksgiving. That's a shot at our Thanksgiving.
When is their 4th of July?
3rd of July. It's weird.
Weird.
They did it one day before us.
Weird.
They're like, screw you, England.
Oh, man.
That's
oh,
a weird one.
This has been a weird one, and I like it very much.
I also wanted to bring up really quick. Oh, here it is.
God,
proposed
I wish Kevin made
new
this.
Standard year.
I wish this was like Kevin's entire scheme,
Tim,
his proposal.
The best thing is the first always falls on a Sunday. So the second is always Monday or the ninth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then,
dude, it's brilliant. I just don't understand why we don't figure this shit out. It's the same shit with the metric system. Why are we so wrong about this stuff? There's an easy way to understand things, and then there's a hard way. Let's all get on the same page.
Well, then you get to
the pro metric system.
What's up?
Your pro metric system?
Yeah, I'm pro whatever makes the most sense.
Metric system is the better.
Pro metric system
by far.
Wait, which one do we use?
We use the imperial
system.
Which is
miles
so stupid.
I kind of like ours.
Well, that's because you're used to it.
It's too hard to understand. It's like speaking a language.
Why is it base 12 instead of base 10, which is so easy to be like, all right, I have, you know, 13 of this. That turns to 1.3 of that.
We could just keep it
smart.
We could just keep it the same names and have it like, oh, a mile is 1,000 feet or 3,000 feet. Or what, you know,
that's going to fuck me up then. Because like you're telling me somebody lives 5 miles away, and I'm like, I know what that is right now. If you change that at all, if you change that to a kilometer,
no, you know,
we all know what a mile is.
No, nobody knows what 5 miles is.
No,
you don't understand what that is.
I think the words stay the same. I think we just like
the measurement changes.
Yeah, we do like a round down.
Well, it makes sense because you call it a mile. Starts with an M. Meters start with an M. It kind of makes sense. We're going in the same like
kill a mile,
but a
centimile.
Yeah. Like a mile would be approximately like close to a kilometer, which automatically is putting it in a different place.
Well,
we might as well just call it a kilometer then.
Kill a mile.
But like I cannot tell you if a kilometer.
Here's my thing. I say that we sacrifice
shorter or longer than a mile, right?
We sacrifice from both ends.
Really?
We use our names,
kilometer
but their
shorter,
system.
Right?
Then they have to get used to our shit. We have to get used to their shit.
Yeah.
We're all starting fresh.
But everything about their system works better.
How hot is 24 Celsius? Can anybody tell me?
Who cares?
Yeah,
exactly.
That's the fucking problem.
I'm so fucking lost.
I know 24 Celsius could either be I'm freezing or I'm wearing flip-flops.
I'm pretty sure it's freezing cold, but I'm not sure.
16 is 64.
Yeah, it's very warm.
Fahrenheit.
24
because zero is freezing, right? Is zero freezing? 0 degrees Celsius freezing?
Yeah, but like they don't move in the same way ours move.
God.
What?
Here's what I'll say. And guys, I think it's important.
Like,
I think we start this now.
It's not one for one. It's not Kelvin.
Right.
I think we got to get on the same page of what our ask is for the UK.
Kelvin Coelho.
Is that we're offering to standardize both Thanksgivings.
Oh, that's hotter than I thought.
Well, it's easy.
That's actually nice.
It's the temperature times 9/5 plus 32 degrees.
Yeah, that makes
easy.
Sense.
So
that's
simple.
So easy, guys.
So simple.
Why can't any of us do that? That's the American school system failing us one more time. What I'll say is this. We get on. Here's what we're asking, Andy. Because you're going to be my consult in this, right? You're my second chair as far as this is concerned. We're offering. We standardize Valentine's Day and Thanksgiving. We got on the metric system, right? And all we ask in return is that when I go to London, you guys need to start driving on the correct side of the fucking road. Okay? That's all I'm asking. We will take your metric system.
I'm down for that sacrifice. I think that's like the equivalent exchange.
I don't know, but there's sometimes I watch footage from people.
I think Valentine's Day might be standardized. Just
I'm
sorry. I meant Mother's Day. Mother's Day is what I want.
Of course.
Mother's Day and Thanksgiving. We'll standardize those across the board. We'll get Canada into this because they just do whatever the fuck we want them to do anyway. We'll get Canada into this. Standardize Thanksgiving. We'll give the UK Thanksgiving as well so that they can have something to do in November because they ain't got shit. 3 months of Christmas is too many months.
Well, I'm going to say it. If we're doing all this, we need to move Christmas and Thanksgiving. They're too close.
Thank you, Tim. We had a full podcast about this, about ranking the months.
Yeah.
And it was like, look, you can't have we need to put Thanksgiving in the summer because those two holidays are way too similar in terms of the days you take off.
My beef with it is that the winter fucking sucks. And so we need something.
You do need something.
Right? Like, I feel like summer is just fucking awesome because it's the summer.
It just throws you for a whack though. And
you don't
need
a holiday in the summer.
But like you take that July. Thanksgiving off and you're like, oh, that was great. And then it's like, all right, I work for 2 weeks and I'm back to a thing. It's like, we could split it up to where you have that cool break at the end of the year and in the middle of the year, as opposed to like, here's an extra long break at the end of the year, and the rest of the year you're exhausted.
Because I'm also thinking about the children, right? Like, they have the summer off.
I always think about the kids.
You're going to take away 2 free days from the kids? 3?
They have it in the summer.
But if you're really thinking about the kids, it's like, you're fucking them up. Because school-wise, that shit's essentially useless. And they still have to go to school for the 2 weeks after Thanksgiving, but before winter break. And it's like, it is just fucking the entire school system where these kids are not learning correctly.
I mean, you also have, you know, 4th of July in the summer.
But that raises a really good question. And again, this is more, so I guess, sort of ammunition for us to go out the UK with. Why do the kids have 2 months of a break? Why don't they go to school year round?
To work the farm.
Yeah, but no one's working farms anymore.
Well, yeah, but like the daylight saving time still happens.
What I'm
right?
saying is teachers then have to go like out of their way to get
a reason for that.
They got to get the extra pay, you know? They got to get the overtime by having to work their summers. They always end up working the summers anyway. Put these kids back in school where they belong. Give them 2 extra months. That's how we get ahead in the world. You know what I mean?
That's
people
totally
in
how
Italy?
My school was when I lived in Nigeria. It was like, it was basically year round. We did trimesters instead of semesters. And I think it'll be like, between every semester, between every trimester, it was like maybe a few weeks of break.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
The thing that I always complain about is like, I think everybody can back me on this, is that I think all the other countries have everything more right than we do, except for like the 16. 5/24 and
the dates,
like the 16th of May. Why?
Where again? That's something
stupid.
We should absolutely.
Yeah, that shit is
blessing.
Up.
Blessing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna be in town. Ask me which date.
02/02.
Yeah, what date are you gonna be in town?
18.
18. 18. What?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if I'm gonna be in town on the 18th of next month, blessing, or the 18th 11 months from now. But if I tell you, if I tell you I'm gonna be in town May, you're already fucking focused in on the month of May. You're zoned in.
I see what you're saying. No, yeah, I'm right there with you,
Tim. Man, we should throw a Kind of Funny Live 5 or 4, whatever it is, on the 21st. in December, Nick, or in September, or in February of next year? When is it?
I appreciate
it's so
where
far
you're
away.
You just add an of, and then it's all solved.
But the number looks stupid.
I agree with what you're saying in theory. It's just, I want things to just work the way that they should and for us all to be on the same page. I get same why they here. Do it. You want to go for the smaller thing to the bigger thing. I agree with you. Would change. They sound stupid when they say it.
It looks dumb.
You know?
It
but
looks
I feel like
dumb,
we all
dude.
Sound stupid. Then it doesn't sound stupid anymore.
This is how dumb I am. I'm just going to say it because someone's going to catch it. Because you didn't hear it, but I'll be like, yeah, it's like if someone were like, hey, man, I'll be there on 2024, you wouldn't know when I'm coming.
No.
You never know. I started saying it. I was like, don't finish that statement. Stupid idiot. And I was like, Andy will laugh. Yeah.
I mean, to Andy's point, though, it is like it's zeroing in, right? Because if I say I'm coming through on the 15th of May 2025, right? Like, you don't know until I say May, like, really when the shit is going down.
And it's such a
long... wasting time.
And I don't want that guessing period, you know?
Yeah, that's...
I don't want that second of guessing.
A little bit of anxiety, because, like, when you say I'm coming on the 15th, and it's like, what's he about to say next?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to wonder. Just there's a month.
There's a big event in
April.
Yeah,
I was going to say...
Perfect. I know it's really, really soon. It's a big event on 30. You know,
it's like, oh shit, which 30?
See, why don't we just simplify it even more though? Why do we even do all this stuff?
Tim,
just
say it.
Make everything. Let's say a year is 1,000 days.
Nope.
Okay. It would be a thousand days.
What? No. Why?
You live half
a year. Kill a year. Kill
just,
a year.
Just yeah, like though, yeah. No, let's choose something that just makes sense. 100. 100 is probably a better thing
kill
to
a
say.
Month.
What day am I meeting you? 37. I know exactly when that is. We can understand it. Get rid of days, get rid of weeks, get rid of months.
Wow.
It's just a fucking number.
That's kind of fire.
I'm so close with your idea. I was just saying, instead of having it restart every month, just keep it going. So February, that's 29 through, what? I can't do math that way, but you know what I mean? 47? Something like that. And we all know that.
Already.
We're like, day 47. Yeah. That's easy.
Mm-hmm.
I know what day that is.
Yeah, so it would look a lot cooler written out if you're like, oh, man, huge event happening on 100. You know, like,
yeah, that
shit would be
so if your birthday was on 100?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be so cool. That's like having a birthday on a leap year.
I think we're really, really finding something.
We're on
here.
To something
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
We do have a good rhythm, ladies and gentlemen. And I hate to break it up, but I do want to ask a question. Because every once in a while, people write some fun stuff in. You guys can also write stuff in if you go over to Patreon or YouTube. And, you know, back us over at those levels. Just, uh-oh, I'm getting a call. Oh, it was a spam call. Should
potential
I answer
spam.
It?
No.
No.
Matt Exposure, of course, has been supporting us for a very long time. Asks a very, very interesting question. Says, did you know the term bucket list stems from the 2007 film of the same name? While the term kicked the bucket existed previously, the term bucket list was created by the film's writer, Justin Zackham, whose bucket list included writing a major studio. Yes.
I call bullshit. I need a fact check on this. Okay. There's no way that's true.
We can look that up. Madeline's question, of course, says, that being said, who is the hotter older man, Morgan Freeman or Jack Nicholson?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I do have a topic that I'm going to get to after this conversation.
You can just start talking.
I'll say Jack Nicholson, because didn't Morgan Freeman, like, you know,
he got really old recently.
His niece or something like that?
He did what?
If you just look up Morgan Freeman niece, there's some weird stuff out there.
No.
Oh,
there
yeah.
is some weird shit out
this
there.
This was a while back. Yeah. Yeah, but like very, very odd kind of weird shit. I'll go with Jack Nicholson anyway.
Do you think you know it's cool that Jack Nicholson still goes to Lakers games and now he brings like his kids? And they
well, that was like a more recent thing because for a while he was absent for a long time and then he kind of made his return. And it was like, oh,
is he a Laker?
Jack Nicholson?
Jack Nicholson? No, he's been a diehard Lakers fan for years.
Yeah, I'll check. I don't fucking know.
Is Spike Lee a Nick? Yeah, I would go with I'd go with Jack Nicholson because yeah, when a lot of people made fun of him when somebody saw him, it was like one of those paparazzi photos, and he just looked very disheveled. Yeah, he's an old man; he's like 80 years old, right? And people were making fun of his appearance and stuff. But then he made kind of a reappearance at a Laker game, I think like a couple years ago, and it was like, it's good to see Jack back.
Good to see him back at it. Good to see him back at it. According to the Wikipedia, you want to read that, Tim?
Yes, since one is from the etymology of the word is kick the bucket plus list, hence a list of things to do before you die. The term was used in 1999 by American and British screenwriter Justin Zackham in his screenplay for the 2007 film The Bucket List. This I find this so hard to believe.
That blows my mind. Nobody said it before then.
Yeah, and then we all just started using it as the most common. Like, oh yeah, that's what we say. Like, I feel like I shouldn't have been alive for any turn of phrase like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The origin should have been way before my time, not the year I graduated high school.
Yeah.
We were watching Ghostbusters earlier today because Greg's doing his watch along before he goes to the premiere, and he reminded me that the term toast, this person's toast, comes from that movie.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It had never been said, apparently, in that context.
I feel like
this
is a recent conversation we had.
We had it a while back when we talked about that. But, yeah, he was...
The first high five? It was in 1977.
Dusty Baker. Dusty Baker.
No way.
How wild is that? Yeah,
that's a fucking
this
lie.
This is supposed to be true. No. Yeah. I bet
you could find a couple high fives from, like, 1950s sports somewhere in there.
No?
Someone at some point was like, boom, hit that.
They
the high five being, like, post-civil rights.
Do you know why pirates wear eye patches? One of my favorite facts. Mm. Why pirates wear eye
because
patches?
Because they didn't have eyes?
Everybody thinks it's to cover up a bum eye or a destroyed eye or whatever. It's so when they go underneath in the galley where it's pitch black, they switch it because that eye's been in the dark the whole time and it's easier to see automatically for them. Wow. Isn't that cool as shit?
I thought it was good because then they could easily put the little telescope thing up.
No, yeah. It's because that eye's just been in darkness this whole time.
Holy shit.
And so when they go underneath, they switch it to the other eye. And now this eye is like super ready to just see in darkness.
That can't be real for all of them, though.
One of them had to have a fucked up eye.
Yeah, like the amount of pirates that like have like hooks for hands and shit. It's like some of them have their eyes poked out for sure.
No, the hook was for something else.
Sword fights.
Before we end the show, Kevin, can you bring up what I sent through on assets, please? Doesn't this look like Dave Bautista?
A little bit. Like, have you seen the 2006 Dave Bautista and the Dave Bautista now?
Yeah.
He looks like Dave Bautista now. He's got the big beard.
Yeah.
A little bit. But let's see, you had a topic before we go.
Yeah, first I want to say my answer is Morgan Freeman. Secondly,
fair. Thank you for
I am
that.
Turning 30 this year.
Yay.
In like 4 to 5 months.
Woo!
I'm turning 30 in July.
Big milestone.
Or as some people call
it. Oh, so I could zero in on that.
Yeah, like 157. Yeah. As some people could call it. I've been trying to figure out what my bucket list is by the time I turn 30. Like, before I turn 30. Like, is there anything I need to do before the age of 30?
Oh, okay. So, like...
In the next 4 to 5 months.
Get eat a whole box of cereal for dinner or something.
Watch Interstellar. Watch Inception.
Okay. There you go.
Watch The Prestige.
Ooh, I do want to watch all the Nolan movies, for sure. Maybe do, like, a Nolan Villeneuve marathon.
James
and
Cameron.
Alex Roman there. The live chat says Beat Dark Souls.
Lord of the Rings.
Something fun like that.
Beat Dark Souls is a pretty good one, yeah.
So, what's on your bucket list right now?
I don't have anything on there.
You have nothing on there.
Yeah.
The thing is, and I say this with all honesty, I honestly think your life gets better at 30. So I don't think there's anything you have to do prior. I would say, if anything, like, set goals for yourself in your 30s, potentially. But, like, bucket list items, I mean, you're still well into adulthood, so there's nothing I could think of as juvenile enough for you to be able to get away with at 29 that you wouldn't be able to get away with at 30, right?
It is pretty crazy. I was thinking about this a couple days ago. Like, the shit that was acceptable when you were 23, even, and like, obviously go back to 17 and all that shit's different, but like, there's just things that I'll never be able to do again. Most of them I'm not going to say on the show, but like, there's certain situations I've been in my life that I'm like, I can't believe there was ever a moment that me, the person I am, thought that that was appropriate. And it was appropriate. It's just weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like watching one of those old movies that has not aged very well. You're just like, ooh.
Ooh.
But we experienced that,
you
think.
Mean like every movie?
Pretty much. Yeah, like pretty much every comedy movie. You're just like, oh man, they were just throwing out those words like nothing, huh?
Yeah, and I'm not even necessarily saying like words and stuff. I'm saying more just like, just what a normal night out looked like. Mm-hmm. Like the activities you partake in.
How do I always think a normal night out for you involved ending with fireworks?
Well... I was we're not talking about when I was 17.
Like throwing fireworks in car windows as they drive by, that sort of thing.
Yeah, something like that.
Bless, do you know how to skateboard?
No, I don't.
Nick says you're supposed to learn before you're 30. You're
you have two. That's a great idea. Okay, so here's the two things you can do. Okay. You have to do.
You're running out of time. I know. Things.
Skateboarding, and if you would like to be a DJ, now is the time to do it. If you pick up DJing after 30, I will make fun of you forever.
Here's the thing, because I was in my friend group chat talking about this, and I was like, would it be cool if I learned how to DJ specifically for the day I get married and I want to DJ my own wedding reception? Is that a cool thing?
I mean,
because I like the idea of it. I feel like that'd be sick.
I would, as a person who's been to a lot of wedding receptions, you probably want to enjoy the wedding reception.
Yeah, that's what I've been told. Work
it. Who's going to kiss the bride?
I mean, it's after the wedding, right? Is that just for the reception, you know? have me on the table doing the scratches.
I have like a hologram of you.
like Tupac.
Now, I'll give you an exception to the rule of no DJing after 30, because DJ Adioye is a fucking badass name.
Or DJ Blessing.
Okay, for that works too. That's kind of cool. That's easier to say. That's fun. Try that. Yeah, do that one time. Didn't you want to like do like trivia nights or something fun like that?
Yeah, but then I started hosting Game Showdown, and so like it takes a lot of time to make the trivia for Game Showdown. That actually doing a trivia night at a bar, I think eventually maybe one or two times I could see myself trying it out. But yeah, to the skateboarding thing, I gave up the idea of ever learning how to skateboard back in high school when me and my friend Antoine. We would do like the ripsticks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was like two wheels, and you would have to like kind of like wiggle back and forth to make those things go.
Yeah, you would wiggle to kind of make inertia.
Yeah, we used to do that all the time. And there was a time we were hanging out in our church parking lot, and he falls over, and I'm dying laughing, right? And he stands up, his wrist making an S shape.
Yeah. Oh, that'll do it.
And immediately I'm like, oh, this is not funny. Like,
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm like, I mean, that cut the laugh short. I was dying, but then I was like, okay, no, this is actually very serious. And from then on, I was like, I don't think I'm ever stepping foot on a skateboard ever again.
I mean, I was never allowed to skateboard. I'll tell you that one time my brother decided to build a makeshift ramp in the backyard. He went up it the first time and snapped his wrist. And it was literally like his hand was here, his arm was here, and his hand was over this way.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom said, you're never skateboarding again. And I never did. I rollerbladed after that. That's all she would allow me to do.
Hell yeah.
Because I got to wear cool pads, which is fun.
You got to wear cool pads.
I mean, I love picking out the pads. I love going to the roller rink shop. I love picking out the white brakes so that I could go on the actual roller rink. I was cool.
Hell yeah.
I was so dope. And then I was like, oh, I'll rollerblade around the neighborhood. And I had a lot of hills in my neighborhood. Immediately quit. I was like, if my mom doesn't take me to school to rollerblade on flat surfaces, I'm not doing this anymore. And Elena Scarpino was like, I don't have time for that. I'm watching that. My daytime.
I like you threatening your mom. Like, I'm not doing. I refuse to do this anymore, mother. Unless you take me to school to do it.
That's just the way it was.
Like, okay,
like,
whatever.
I'm about to go to school on Saturday. Mind you, I went to school maybe 20 blocks away from where I lived. My mom was like, "No, I'm not."
But
doing
there
that.
Were hills.
Yeah, it was like three hills. A lot of hills.
Okay.
Can we talk about before we go? I think this happened last weekend. I might have hallucinated this, but Greg tweeting out Tony Hawk can I have like the picture of Ben. Looking at the skateboards and then tweeting at Tony Hawk and then having Tony Hawk actually tweet back at him with some real knowledge. And then the first response to that was some asshole throwing shade at me for talking to Tony Hawk about yoga. And I was like, why you got to bring that shit up? Come on. He doesn't remember that. Don't tweet him the link to that.
Oh, man.
God. Come on, that's so guys. Funny. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, this is the Kind of Funny podcast where each and every week four best friends gather on this table. Bring in some fun topics for your amusement. Hey, if you watched the Academy Awards and we forgot something fun, leave a comment in the comments below. Let us know what you thought was the highlight of the night. And also let me know, hey, future Academy Award predictions. How many awards is Dune 2 going to take? My prediction? All of them. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, it has been our pleasure to serve you. I love you. Bye.